You might have seen a lot of different birds in your backyard over the last couple of weeks. We are now at the peak of bird migration in Wisconsin, and we have an expert to help us identify some of the birds passing through the state on their way south.
Ryan Brady joins us now. He's a research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and bird monitoring coordinator for the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. Ryan, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, who is showing up these days, Ryan?
Well, there's a lot of birds out there right now. It's a great time of year. There's a tremendous diversity of lots of different species. Most of our neotropical migrants, and those are migrant birds that spend their summers up in Canada or in Wisconsin and then spend their winters down in the tropics like Central and South America, those are just about on their way out now. So things like the warblers, some of the thrushes, the hummingbirds, those orioles and grosbeaks that we love in our backyards, the flycatchers, those are just kind of passing through now and headed out of here because they're dependent on insects, and those are going to get hard to find here once the frost hits. And we're starting to see more of those shorter distance migrants, so the ones that don't go quite as far, maybe only winter down in the southern U.S., things like sparrows and juncos and kinglets and northern flickers and cedar waxwings, American robins, some of the blackbirds. We've got a lot of raptors moving through right now, so keep your eye to the sky for things like broadwing hawks, sharp-shinned hawks, even some merlins and peregrine falcons. Our shorebird numbers are on the decline. They peak in the month of August, but there's still a few hanging on. And then lastly, the waterfowl migration, which a lot of folks love, that really kicks up in October. So we're just starting to see the vanguard of the geese and some of the ducks like the teal and the divers like scaup and redheads and things like that.
So, Ryan, how would you compare spring migration to fall migration?
Well, the spring migration tends to happen really fast. Birds are in a big hurry to get back up to the breeding grounds. They generally migrate north on those warm south wind days that we all love in spring. The reverse is kind of opposite in the fall. It's a little bit slower passage for most of the species. The species composition is kind of the same. The fall can be a little trickier because the birds aren't singing. Many of them are in an appearance or a plumage that isn't as brightly and boldly colored, so they can be harder to tell exactly what they are, even for some of the most avid bird watchers. But I really enjoy the challenge of that during the fall months, and it's really just a wonderful time of year to be out there looking at birds.
Yeah, for you and other people who are birders, for that matter, what are some of the most exciting birds from the ones you just mentioned? What would be a great one to be able to check off?
Well, as a group, I think a lot of folks are really in love with the warblers. So there's about 30, 35 species of warblers. They're small, they're colorful. In the spring, they really have these wonderful songs. They're just such interesting birds. And so even in the fall, a lot of folks are really passionate about those. A lot of folks love the big hawks, right? So things like eagles and red-tailed hawks, these powerful flyers soaring way up high in the sky. But actually, you know, right now there's an event going on up in Superior, Wisconsin, that's sponsored by the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology. It's called Jaegerfest. And it's named Jaegerfest because folks are up there looking for a special kind of bird called a Jaeger. And that is a, kind of think of it as a cross between a gull and a falcon. And so they're out there looking for parasitic Jaeger, Pomeranian Jaeger, and maybe even a long-tailed Jaeger, as well as some other birds that typically you only find on big expanses of open water, often the ocean, but in this case Lake Superior, and that's things like Sabin's gulls and Arctic terns and some other rarities. So there's about 100-plus birders up there right now sitting on Wisconsin Point scanning the waters of Lake Superior looking for one of these birds.
Parasitic Jaeger, how did it get that name, or does it just have bad PR people?
It gets that name because it steals food from other birds, so it literally chases gulls around and makes them regurgitate the food that they've eaten and then steals it.
Okay, it deserves a bad name.
It probably does.
We're talking with Ryan Brady right now. He's a research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and bird monitoring coordinator for the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. We're talking about the fall bird migration. And Ryan, I'm guessing that this is a sound that a lot of people might be hearing right about now. So that's a bunch of Canada geese. And I have to say, sometimes people get confused because they see a flock of geese flying and they say, but wait, that they're not flying south. They're going in the wrong direction. What's going on if we see them heading in a slightly different trajectory?
Well, if they're going in a different direction, they're probably not actively trying to migrate south. They might just be moving to a food source. So they'll often roost in one place and then fly out to feed in others. And anyone who hunts geese knows this quite well. We're just at the beginning of the goose migration now. Usually around the second week of September, we start seeing birds coming in from Canada. And that's happened through the month, but it'll really build through October, and then it even peaks later on into early November. And depending on what kind of winter we have, if it's a late winter, we'll get a lot of birds sticking around well into December. So it's interesting to look for some other species among them. There's a smaller version called the cackling goose. Occasionally you'll see a snow goose or a greater white-fronted goose in with them, so check your geese flocks carefully.
I'm not a great birder, but I can identify, you know, geese in general. And here's the sound of another bird I can actually pick out of a lineup. And that's me imitating the sound, by the way. I'm getting pretty good. Or no, Judith collected these earlier. The sandhill crane, I gather, is that sound. I love that sound, and I love when I can actually spot one of those right. Are they moving through now, or have we missed them already?
Well, it's a little early, actually.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Just starting the stage. You'll see groups of them. Some of them may be moving already, but you're going to start seeing numbers gather. You'll see concentrations of them. The numbers will get a little higher out in those ag fields and wetlands. And then really later on in October and the first part of November as well is when the numbers tend to be at their peak. And then they'll take off and head south. Most of ours go to Florida, and so that's where they'll spend their winter before they head back in late February or March.
So there's another kind of migration that we see, and it's hard to believe, but for some birds, Wisconsin is actually the warmer, more hospitable place. A few years, we've had these great eruptions of snowy owls coming down from the Arctic. Is there any way to predict if this is going to be a good year for snowies?
There is no way to predict, and to be honest, snowy owls have been making scientists scratch their heads for the last few years because they're doing things no one expected them to do with so many consecutive years of being out here in high numbers. So we don't really know what's going to go on with snowy owls just because they're in a very remote area right now of northern Canada. There's not a lot of folks up there monitoring prey sources like lemmings and other rodents, and they tend to be rather nomadic, so it's kind of tough. But it's interesting to bring that up because there is another group of bird called the winter finches. So things like crossbills and red poles and evening grosbeaks and these ones we get in the wintertime that a lot of folks are interested in. And there is a forecast for those that just came out today, actually, from some Canadian ornithologists. And that's based on seed crops that are observed throughout the boreal forest as well as the fruit crops. And right now it looks like we're not in for a big year in Wisconsin for many of the winter finches. But we'll have to wait and see because it's just a forecast. And that's kind of the fun part. You never know what each season's going to bring.
Ryan, what can we do if we want to lure some of these migrating birds into our backyards? Any good advice?
Well, it's all about food, water, and shelter. And so when I say food, I don't just mean bird feeders. I also mean planting native plants, so things that will harbor insects, which a lot of our migrant birds eat and need, as well as fruits, so things like the dogwoods, cherries, mulberry, elderberry, blackberries, those sorts of things can really, really be useful. In terms of water, a simple bird bath works. If you can get a trickling sound, that will help to attract the birds. That's very useful. Or if you have the ability, something bigger like a stream or a backyard pond can be very, very helpful. And then shelter, dense conifers, evergreens, even dense deciduous cover, things that will provide refuge from predators or from wind and snow eventually in the wintertime. And brush piles are really good. We have a tendency to want really clean lawns, clean understory. We pick up our brush, we rake all those leaves, and we go and we get rid of them. But that's all really good habitat. So if you can take some of that and we'll either leave it or lump it all together into these nice brush piles. That's excellent cover, and will bring more birds to your yard.
Well, my very lackluster gardening is actually clearly for a reason now. At least I have an excuse. But, Ryan, I have seen in some kind of birding discussions online and stuff that people worry that if they make it too nice and too hospitable that somehow we're going to convince birds to not continue their migration, that they'll say, you know, this backyard in Madison is exactly where I want to be. Is there any real risk of that?
No, there is no real risk of that. The birds have been migrating for many, 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 many years. They need high-quality food sources to get to where they want to go. Your high quality habitat will not make them want to stay, but it will provide them the nourishment, the cover, and the things they need during the migration, which is an extremely taxing time during their lifetime. To make it through a migration to the wintering grounds with all the obstacles in the way, communication towers, all the building windows, predators that are out there, outdoor cats, all these things that kill birds, you providing excellent habitat is by far the best thing that you could do for them.
Briefly, Ryan, if we want to migrate around the state this weekend to spot some of these, can you give us a couple good hot spots?
Well, Wisconsin Point in Superior, like I mentioned, would be a great place to run up to. The folks will be there through the weekend if you have the time. You can almost never go wrong with Horicon National Wildlife Refuge. Crex Meadows up in the northwest corner of the state is fabulous. Bay Beach Sanctuary over in Green Bay is fantastic. And any of the kind of city parks and other natural areas along the Lake Michigan shoreline. Shorelines are very good places to find birds during migration as they tend to get concentrated there.
Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Ryan Brady is a research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and bird monitoring coordinator for the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative, and we've been talking about the fall bird migration.
I'm stuck on the idea of this parasitic Jaeger making, was it gulls?
Yeah, making them throw up.
And eating their food. Yeah. Why has no professional sports team or college sports team taken the parasitic Jaeger as its mascot?
Yeah, because what is it? UC Santa Clara? Santa Cruz has the banana slugs.
Yeah,
and I want to know, is this on the ground or is this in flight? Because that would be really, really impressive.
Go Jaegers. This is Central Time.